federal land usage and management is the issue behind the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge at its core. The sense that the federal government is a tyrannical ruler of too much public land, forcing adjacent private landowners to knuckle under and closing off large portions of federal land, like Western Oregon forests, to active management when more management could equal more jobs. That's one view. The opposite view is that without the federal government protecting the land, resource users would graze, cut, mine, or otherwise rape it. Producer Emily Curitan joins me in the studio for Vents Day today with the results of an online survey that allowed venters that avenue for comment. You can make your thoughts known here if you didn't through the survey. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We'll talk about item two, the Klamath River minus the Klamath Basin agreements. Let me flesh out item two just a little more. It's also about resource use on, another perennially hot topic in the region, the Klamath River and its water and its use. The Klamath Basin agreements, hailed as a set of historic compromises between agencies and tribes and water users, were to have led to the removal of four dams from the Klamath River between Klamath Falls and the ocean, among other changes. But the agreements came with time limits, and those ran out at the end of last year, since Congress needed to make a move to implement them. Congress did not. Scoping meetings to begin the process of relicensing the hydro dams begin this week in Sacramento, with meetings later this month in Arcata and Wairika, among other places. Let's hear your scoping here today on The Exchange. What happens now with the Klamath Basin? What do you feel about federal land management? Is it too heavy-handed? Is it not restrictive enough? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And Emily, what did we ask in the survey, and how was this all set up?
Well, it's interesting, Jeff. We asked, first of all, for people to assess land management in their local communities on a spectrum. So I put a 1 to 5 scale up there, 1 being the way public land is managed or impacts my community, it hurts it a lot. And a 5 is that it helps it a lot. And we sort of went into this thinking, okay, there's something for everyone there. I've heard a broad spectrum of opinions on this topic living in Northern California and now in Southern Oregon. But what actually happened is we have a lot of 1s, a lot of people who think that the way public land is managed in their community has a negative impact. And a lot of 5s, a lot of people who came to the defense of federal land managers in particular. One of the places where we did push this survey, and you are welcome to take it out there in Radioland. It's still on our Facebook page. It's probably the easiest way to find it at this point. We did get 2 responses out of Brookings, Oregon, which I thought were interesting. One was from Robin, and she rated it a 1. She said, you know, land management in my community, it hurts us. And her comment to follow that was, these lands bring in no taxes to our county and timber monies are no more. So that was Robin in Brookings. We got another comment from Brookings from Nancy, and she said she gave it a 5. She said that Brookings is doing great because of federal land management, because the feds pay the maintenance fees on all these lands. So I thought that was interesting. They both brought in money, in one case, tax money that maybe isn't going into the county coffers. And I'm not sure how it works in Oregon, but in California, at least, you know, timber companies aren't paying property taxes the way that maybe a homeowner would pay property taxes. They usually pay taxes on the yield of the timber. So I wonder, you know, where Robin is getting her idea about the tax base being abolished. But we got a lot more to come on that survey. I'd love to get some real live humans in on this discussion, though.
Well, we have one of those right now. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about federal land management and the Klamath Basin after the agreements.
Good morning. I want to get this out before I lose it. That argument that was used in your previous segment is a false argument. It's a straw argument. The same infrastructure essentially has to be provided on private land and public land. And whoever is paying for it, the rancher's paying for it either way. The only thing that the rancher gets is extra capacity. That's the only thing that the rancher is getting.
More room to graze.
Exactly. That's all. So that whole argument is a specious argument that was presented before. Now, the question becomes, first of all, can this be done in an environmentally sensible way? And then, secondly, can it be done in a way that makes economic sense for the rancher and economic sense for the government. And the long and the short of it, whether it's a state government, a local government, or the federal government, the long and the short of it is that these guys have been hammered. They have been put into a vice, but it has much more to do with overall economic conditions. Price of beef has been up, the price of beef has been down. The idea of feedlot beef is reprehensible, but it's also much more cost effective than grazing animals. So these guys, their way of life is threatened. You have to expect them to react in some way. The armed uprising in Burns is probably not the best way, but we have a long tradition of doing that. So you know, there's my take on that, on the climate situation. You know, politics and greed got into the middle of what was some kind of an arrangement, and again, it's outside influences, in my opinion, that damaged a local consensus. And so, I guess we have to start over from scratch. I have one more thing. There was finally an incident out in Burns over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about it or not.
What was it?
Well, there was. This came off of a byline from the Lapine, and there was a 79-year-old bird watcher who was checking on some burrowing owls. Apparently, one of the militia members came at him, tried to force him to the ground. The man stood his ground, said, "This is public lands." And one thing led to another. Ultimately, the militiaman apparently shoved this 79-year-old man, not knowing that the 79-year-old man was a former wrestler. The 79-year-old man threw a leg takedown on the guy, knocked the wind out of him, left him on the ground, went over, checked the owls. The owls were fine, and he left.
Oh boy, I hadn't heard about that.
The FBI, when they were contacted about it, said this was the first reported incident, and they asked all of our senior citizens not to knock the militia members on their keisters.
Fair enough. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent politely on topics in the news. We're not talking directly so much about the takeover at the wildlife refuge in Harney County, Oregon, but the underlying reasons that have been expressed for it. And we're talking about federal land use management then. Emily's in the studio with me with results from our survey. You can join us by phone at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. And there are some other pearls of wisdom that came through the survey?
Well, we could put it like that. Paul's comments were interesting there. The idea of the ranchers getting hammered and kind of where people are coming from on this. I do have another comment sort of in that vein. This one comes out of California from Buena Park. Someone named Chris sent it in. Chris writes, "Forestry management has gone from sustainable conservation uses to a hands-off approach. This has eliminated hundreds of thousands of jobs and destroyed hundreds of thousands of acres by fire." So Chris, Paul also mentioning ranchers getting hammered. Chris talking about everybody getting hammered. One of the many comments that we got on our survey, you can find that survey on Jefferson Exchange Facebook page, and it's still open. Would love you to take part in it. I think for the most part, people who answered, the majority, like 67% of them, were pleased with the way that public lands are managed in their communities. We had a person from Talent, actually Wolfgang from Talent, a familiar name on this program. He says, "Increasingly, we forget about or ignore the concept of the commonwealth, the common good. In return for promises of greater efficiency and greater profits, we surrender publicly held entities to corporations, businesses, and private investors. The promises never pan out, and the long-term damage is drastic. We privatize public assets, and we deprive the common good." So interesting thoughts there from Wolfgang about the commonwealth. And I think with this grazing discussion, what some people may experience is a sort of tragedy of of the commons. That's another, you know, another concept of, well, if everybody owns it, then everybody kind of trashes it.
This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're looking for your venting on federal land management, good or evil, or someplace in between, and the Klamath River Basin. What to do now that the Klamath River agreements have expired? 800-838-3760 for your phone calls. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Something in one of those survey comments about federal land management and about the fires echoes what U.S. Representative Greg Walden said last week on the floor of the House in a surprisingly passionate 20-minute plus speech. I mean, we're used to seeing Representative Peter DeFazio from Oregon's 4th District make some noise on the House floor. This is the first time I'd seen Greg Walden in his 20 years plus in the House of actually, no, it's just now 20 years in the House, getting as agitated as he did about land management and the reasons underlying the takeover at the refuge. He said, I don't condone the takeover at the refuge, but I understand some of the reasons behind it. And he listed issues like what you just talked about with that one of our other commenters brought up, which is the idea that without management, we're just watching our forests burn, mm-hmm. which is a fairly common one. Let's hear the first of the Greg Walden comments here. This is the bureaucrat's comment and Greg Walden on the House floor last week.
I have seen what happens when overzealous bureaucrats and agencies go beyond the law and clamp down on people. I have seen what courts have done. And I have seen the time for Congress to act, and then it has not.
Greg Walden continued, and as he got more agitated, he talked about some particular laws that had been passed to make clear the intention of Congress on federal land management. And he said that those laws were not followed, and in fact, they had to go back and pull out the records of the hearings and bring them to the agencies and say, this is what we meant when we passed this law. So let's get this comment about not following the law from Greg Walden.
You see, how do you have faith in a government that doesn't ever listen to you? How do you have faith in a government that when elected representatives write a law, those charged with the responsibility of implementing it choose to go the other direction and not do so?
Greg Walden again, representative of Oregon's 2nd District, which includes Harney County and the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, on the floor of the House last week in an impassioned speech about federal land management. We want to know where your passion lies on federal land management. Is it being done correctly? Is it being done overzealously? Is it being done too hands-off? What's your take on federal land management and its value to your community? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Email here from Todd in Ashland. He says, I think the standoff at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge is so much more than just a group of anti-government extremists making a stand with a few ranchers. I believe it's the wise use movement, in quotes, and the Sagebrush Rebellion, in quotes, coming back in an attempt to steal precious natural resources from the American public. Our public lands are supposed to be managed for multiple use in a sustainable long-term manner. If these lands were privatized, all the resources on them would be overexploited and disappear overnight. Just hop on a plane or get on Google Earth and look at the difference between national forests and private timberlands, or a wildlife refuge versus private rangelands. The fact is, industry has used up all the resources on private lands, and now they want to do the same on our public lands. That from Todd in Ashland. Let's take another phone call here. We have Jeff in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Yes, well, I agree 100% with Todd, who just called, who's a friend of mine. I'm a retired BLM employee, and I can tell you that managing public lands is extremely difficult. You cannot please everybody, but the vast majority of Americans are very happy to have places, huge areas of land that's not fenced, that's not posted, where you can go out and you can hunt, you can fish, you can birdwatch, you can ride horses. There's a lot of things you can do on public land, which is legal, and you don't get people running you off or anything like that. I feel for ranchers in the West because it is a tough business, but they have to face the economic realities. A lot of ranch land in the West is marginal. It's hard to grow cows out there. And I absolutely think that people who are vandalizing public land out there in the Malheur area need to be held accountable. And I think they're hanging themselves by what they're doing, the driving public vehicles and things like that. So anyway, I love public land, and I like using it, and I like having it open to the public who it belongs to.
Jeff, a question for you. I wonder if, as a former federal employee, your work situation is similar to what journalists talk about, where if everybody's mad at you, you probably did your job right.
That may be so. Yes, I drove around Josephine, Jackson County a great deal on my job, and a lot of times I had conversations with people out in the field, people who were recreating or whatever they were doing, and most of them were appreciative of what we were doing, and most of them had a very reasonable conversation with me. Some people got in my face and accused me of being a communist and all kinds of things. So, yes, it's difficult, but the majority of the public, I believe, really appreciates their national forests, their Bureau of Land Management lands, their national parks, their wildlife refuges, and all the other public lands that we have. It's an asset to this country. It's one of the finest things this country has going for it.
All right, Jeff, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Let's get your thoughts on this Vince Day. We have some survey results that Emily will get to in just a moment. We want your phone calls and emails as well. Let's get where you're standing on how we're doing with managing federal land. Are we managing too aggressively? Are we managing too hands-off? Is it someplace in the middle? Does it provide value to your community, or does it decrease the value of your community? 800-838-3760 by phone, email jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic is the Klamath Basin without agreements. And Emily, what else do you have from the survey?
Well, when Jeff was talking about his career in the Bureau of Land Management, we did get a comment on our survey from Jack in Northern California. Didn't give his town name, but it's a bit of an attaboy for federal land managers, so I thought Jeff might like to hear it while he's listening. Jack in Northern California wrote into us, "Federal land managers are exceptionally talented, smart, and well-educated. The systems and management paradigms they use are balanced and well thought out. They're focused on sustainability of all things and work in a world with lots of divergent issues and pressures and needs. These people are heroes and should be celebrated. On long time scales, they're doing great work. If anything, the problem is that they don't have enough money. I thank them for their service." So that from Jack in Northern California.
All right, another comment here from an email from Adam and Eugene. He says, "It's clear that the heavily armed conservative white men get privileged treatment. If the situation was one of lefty ALF environmentalists occupying a dog food factory, their blood would already have been shed and the label terrorist cemented in viewers' minds." So that's an alternate comment from Adam and Eugene. Wolfgang in Sunny Valley says, "I believe both sides in the antagonistic dispute are missing the point. There's a pervasive fallacy in the assumption that a claim equates a right, that having the money to buy something, land, for example, entitles a person to use and abuse it and everything within the delicate interdependencies surrounding it. That fallacy isn't just pervasive, but also perverse because it literally perverts, puts upside down the relationship between us and our sustainable source, be that land or friends or love. It's perverse, it's pervasive, and it will eventually be fatal to our culture of claims and ownership." From Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Another phone call here from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, very quickly. I can remember a number of years ago, it was in Wyoming, Dakotas, there was a huge controversy over when certain tribes, certain people could inherit those grazing rights. And that's what caused a whole lot of mess. So is that part of it, where people feel, things should follow through in generations or not follow through in generations?
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate that. 800-838-3760 to take part in this and any Vince Day. 800-838-3760. Federal land management and the Klamath Basin without agreements are topics today. You can also still send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. What else do you have from the survey, Emily?
Well, Jim brought up a good point there. A number of people who answered the survey brought up, the way that we value our public land. So we talk a lot about tourism, a lot about grazing and mining and resource extraction, but future generations and valuing these lands just so that they'll be around, 100, 200 years from now. That did come up with a few people. I'd like to share the comments of Jeff in Jackson County. Jeff wrote, "Nothing in life works perfectly, but I prefer that my public lands be managed by public entities who take more than business interests into consideration. I love having access to the lands owned by all Americans and not having that access compromised by local or national business interests. So Jeff in Jackson County, as long as the public stays in public lands, he seems like a more of a middle of the road kind of guy. If you want to take part in this survey, we're going to be doing this every week here on Vents Day, but this particular document still on our Facebook page, pretty easy to find, Jefferson Exchange on Facebook.
You can also check our regular website, jeffexchange.org, and it's in the item about Vents Day. Just click the Take This Survey button and away you go. I want to bring in, I want to follow up actually a little bit on that point, because that's a key one, it seems like, that forms throughout this discussion, is the idea that land has to be productive in the sense of you have to be able to get some dollars off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear from people who don't feel that way, well, there is a value in actually just having beauty, in having a nice place to live and having your trees vertical instead of horizontal.
Or people who are right in the nexus of those two things, right? I mean, the tourism economy. We have a comment here from Jack who didn't give his community, but he's an Oregonian. He says, if you don't believe me that we need to protect public land and keep it public, just compare Crater Lake with Lake Tahoe and see who wins. So, I mean, I think if you've been to Lake Tahoe, that's also a very naturally beautiful place, but much more commercial, perhaps, than a national park might be.
Indeed. I have one more bite from Greg Walden on the House floor last week in his impassioned speech that began by saying that he did not support the actions of the people who had taken over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, but he understood the reasons for doing so. And here he talks about the restrictions on the use of federal land in eastern Oregon.
The continued restriction on the lives of the men and women who, for generations, have worked hard in a tough environment. It's just gone too far. It's hurtful. And I hope people understand how serious this is felt and how heartfelt this is by those who pay their taxes and try and live by the law and do the right things, and how oppressed they feel.
That again, Representative Greg Walden from Oregon's 2nd Congressional District, which includes eastern Oregon, all of eastern Oregon, and a good chunk of southern Oregon as well through Jackson County. We have an email here from Joe and Talent who says, this is irony. Greg Walden talking about government not listening. I needed my representative a few years ago, and letter after email after phone call went unanswered. I guess he looked at my financials and decided I wasn't worth talking to. So lots of strong feelings about federal land management in Oregon. I noticed nobody weighing in on the Klamath issue this week. We pretty much exhausted the results of the survey, Emily.
Well, we haven't. There is a wellspring, as you pointed out, but it looks like we're about out of time for today. So lots of reasons to feel oppressed. Also lots of reasons to feel grateful for our public lands is my takeaway from this particular survey.
All right. Good work on that. Thanks so much for bringing it in. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, and we have indeed run to the end of the time.